County. Not even one more person in Tompkins, Steuben. Not even one more person in Tioga. Not even one more person, oh God, of our relatives. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. God, we declare that you are a good God, that you have great things for your people. Lord, we pray for those that are struggling desperately right now, even in their minds. Let your word come alive to them. Protect us. Jesus, when we come out of this, we're not coming out just barely. We're going over the top for your glory. In Jesus' name, we surrender again, God. As your word declares, we lay ourselves down as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We lay ourselves down. We ask that you renew our minds, that we will be heavenly good, not just earthly good, for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I don't know about you, I'm ready. Can we give that worship team a hand clap? Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of the Lord. I just know without a shadow of a doubt that God has great plans. Today, I'm excited. I was up at 3:30 this morning, just praying again over what I'm going to minister in the gospel today. You know, one of the things that I strive to do is whenever I preach, I don't want to preach just like me. This is one of my prayers that I pray. Jesus, when I open my mouth, I pray that you will be speaking through me. God, I don't need people to hear what I have to say. We need to hear what you have to say. The words of man do not change man. I believe in the study of the mind. I believe in EQ. I believe in psychology. I believe in understanding the mind of man. But the mind of man cannot fix the mind of man. The mind of man can only touch the emotion portion, the soulless portion of a man. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God transitions us. The word of God heals us. The word of God makes us new and greater people for God's purposes. And today, I don't want to come to you with another word from a religious writ of another book or another philosophy. I'm bringing to you today the word of God right from the scriptures so that you can hear what Jesus has to say for you and your family right where you are. Every year, His Tabernacle, we have a theme, and this year's theme is unstoppable. Boy, I tell you, was that not on target or what? God spoke that to me last October. He said, this is what I want you to do, unstoppable, the supernatural church. The church, especially in this season, if you're a natural church, if you're just a church that meets more like a social club, man, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to survive. But as the supernatural church of Christ that He established in the book of Acts, I want you to know that we are unstoppable. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Last week, I started sharing with you about nonsense and how so many look at Christianity and look at the Word of God and look at what we're doing right now as nonsense. And I want you to hear me very clearly. Just because something does not make sense to you, especially if you've never studied it, there's no way to study the scripture. There's no way to study the resurrection. There's no way to study who Christ was, even as a historical man walking on the planet, and not come to some level of sense. But today I want to talk to you because we're in a situation. We've been, this is, I believe, our fifth week or sixth week of isolation. We've been cooped up. We've seen a ramping of so many different things, man. It's concerning. It's concerning where many of the people are in our region. We've watched, as we've heard it talked about on the news, about spousal abuse and abuse in homes increasing, and alcohol consumption is considered a, what do they call that, Rhonda? An essential. I want you to know that you might need the spirit, wine and spirit, but you need the new wine and the Holy Spirit. This is where we're watching drug addiction and drugs start to increase, and we're watching suicide temptation come, and depression increasing, and the mental conditions of people are spinning out of control in many individuals' lives because we're watching the TV and constantly hearing the negative, constantly seeing the bad. We're scrolling through our Facebook, and all we're seeing, in fact, this morning as I was scrolling through Facebook, two people said the same thing. How can everybody be so negative on Facebook? I'll tell you why. Because the soulish man gets to a place of hopelessness, and God now needs to infuse in the body of Christ, needs to infuse in your life. Man, you might not be a religious person, neither was Christ. Man, you might not be a churchgoer, but I want you to know, you need to know Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And as you know him, your life will be transitioned by him. You see, we need not fear, but we need faith. We're not in control. And that's where people start to spin out of life. But today I've got news for you. God has a plan to keep you smiling. God has a plan to keep your joy. God has a plan in his word that is so clear and distinct that men to many, it would be nonsense. But to those who receive the word that is alive, quick and powerful, it will make all the sense because Christ will change you from the inside out. The text today is Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, and it says this. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There's a version called the Passion Translation. It says it this way. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. That's what's happening. People are getting overwhelmed. They're in this isolation sensation, in this place where they feel that no one seems to care, where worth has been diminished, where they had worth in their work or they had worth in their activities of life. And now they're finding the hope being crushed inside of them. I want you to recognize that that is why people start getting mean. They start getting bored, so they start picking. And man, it's so easy to look at somebody else's log in their eye, but forget your own problem in your own eye. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, we're in a position where we've got to come to an understanding in our life that God, yes, God sees where you are. God cares where you are. God has a design to get you out of where you are if you're in a bad place emotionally. You see, many people during this season slide into what we call survival mode. But God has never called his church to be in survival mode. God has never called his children just to survive. God has called us to thrive. He said, you have become more than overcomers through Christ Jesus our Lord. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's nothing I can't do with Jesus on my side. For if God is for me, who can be against me? You see, if this is just religious talk to you, then that's all it is. But to those who know Jesus, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It starts to energize. Literally, the Spirit of God starts to move in your life. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to start feeling him convict your life to draw you to salvation today. It's time to stop. It's time to get out of the mindset of survival. You've got to break it. Now, I'm not from here. I came here from the Boston region. And one of the things that was shocking to me was how many people I came in about the year to this church in 1998. How many people were still talking about the flood? I was shocked to realize that so many are still blaming the flood for everything that's been destroyed. And I look and I see a mindset that is just that of, I've got to survive in this world. But no, God doesn't want you to survive. God wants you to thrive. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be a person that's going to have a sound mind. For the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Whether we like it or not, they did a study. Forbes did a study with the American Psychiatric Association, and 36% of Americans since this pandemic have declared they've had serious impact in their mental health. According to Forbes, 65% of people have now reached out online for therapy. Something is happening. Something is happening in the hearts and the minds of people. We can keep them healthy from a virus, but if their minds are not healthy, then it will also cause other sicknesses and other disease. 87% of all sicknesses and diseases are linked to the factor of how we think and how we live in our minds. But Pastor, I'm just a realist. I'm just looking at the facts. These are the facts. This is what's going on. Well, listen, you can walk by the facts all you want, but this is what I've learned so clearly. I walk by faith and not by sight. I trust God more than I trust man. Man can lie, man can fabricate, but God cannot lie. And his word is yea and amen. And the covenant of God cannot be changed. The covenant of God is set and solid. And because God is who he is, we can trust and rely upon him. And know that if God has said it, I can walk by faith. I can trust him. Man, if you can trust God, you will walk even on water if you've got to not just survive, but to thrive. Well, Pastor, I just think that's nonsense. You're just talking words from a book called the Bible that we've had on our shelves for years. No, I'm sorry. That's your mentality. I'm just going to let you know immediately. You need to start doing some research on the Bible. You need to recognize it's not just another religious writ that's stuck into your bookcase. You see, because if this Bible is true, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, then you and I have got to follow the Word of God. We've got to start living the Word of God because the Word of God is life to us. Jesus said it this way, the truth will make you free, not the facts. Now, I'm not saying that we deny some of the facts that are in front of us. As I preached last week, you don't ignore your concern. But what many people are doing, and the proof is in the pudding, how many people are reaching out for psychiatric help, how many people are struggling in their minds, how many people are struggling in their hearts, how many people are struggling with hope, is that something has happened that we've got to pay attention to. And that is that without Jesus, without faith, all you have is what you can see. If all you do is walk by sight, then you have no control. Then you have no opportunity. You have no ability to move forward. You have got to survive if all you have is your facts and not truth. God has a plan. What I love about my God is this whole pandemic didn't shock him. He didn't go, oh no, what am I going to do? God's got a plan of healing. God's got a plan of restoration. God's got a plan of hope. And God's got a plan that in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, I love what it says in the book of James, man, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations. How in the world can you call it joy when trouble's slicking your toes, when you're having difficult times in your life? How can you have joy? But this is the key. This is the difference between someone who knows God and someone who doesn't know God, someone who lives for Christ, someone who believes the word, someone who walks by faith, and someone who does not. And there are two absolute distinct groups of people. Today, I don't know which group you're part of, but this I do know, that with Jesus on your side, baby, you can't fail. That if you and I will start calling on the name of the Lord, he will save us, not just so that we survive, but that we'll thrive in the middle of it, and that God will propel us forward in the vision and the purpose and the design that he has for your life. This is not a shock to God, and God's got a plan to keep your mind sane. Turn to somebody and say, I want to be sane. Sanity. God has a plan for sanity. It's called enjoy life. What? You're telling me to enjoy life and the problems I'm having and I'm struggling in my finances because I lost my job? You're telling me to have joy in the middle of the problems I'm looking at with my physical body, with my mind? How is this, Pastor? That doesn't even make sense. I can't go to church. How can I have joy? Because joy is the personality characteristic of who God is. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit or the personality of the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. Where does God live? When when you accept him as your Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You then become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man was once dead, but now that you confess Christ, you are alive in Christ and dead to sin. The moment that you ask Jesus to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit, God, who brooded over the earth at creation, literally comes in and dwells in your spiritual man. I want to remind you that we are spirit, we are a soul, and we are a body. We are trichotomous, just like God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are a spiritual person before you are anything else. Your soulish man is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. And your body is nothing more than acting out who's actually in control of your life. God has a plan. It's called joy and laughter. No, this is not nonsense. You're going to see real quickly how much sense this actually makes. Now, joy is different from happiness. Happiness literally depends upon your environment and your circumstances. Some people are happy one moment and unhappy the next. I call it the roller coaster ride. I have great happiness. Oh, my goodness, I'm so discouraged. Everything's going great. Oh, my life is horrible. Oh, my goodness, my family loves me. My family doesn't. It's just this roller coaster. What a horrible ride. God has consistency for you. That's that fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The word temperance means consistency. God wants to bring a consistency, no matter whether it's good things or bad things, that as you walk by faith, your faith is in the Word of God, and what God says you're going to be, what God says you're going to do, not according to the circumstances that are surrounding you. That's why, as a believer, I don't have fear. That's why, as a believer, I'm not freaking out. Why? Because I know God said, even if the sickness comes on me, I'm going to come out healthy. Why? Because by his stripes, I was healed. See, if you're living by happiness, you'll have no consistency. But that wasn't God's plan. The Bible makes a declaration in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Hebrew word actually means to make glad. Strength actually means a place or means of safety, refuge, protection. I love this. The root word of strength means to be strong, prevail, to make firm, to strengthen. The joy of the Lord is a constant gladness. The joy of the Lord is a constant consistency. And it is a cause to rejoice, because if your situations, even though they're real in front of you, I'm not saying that they're not real situations. I'm not saying that this isn't a real virus. But what I'm telling you right now, when your God is consistent, you have the ability to rejoice in the consistency, not rejoicing in the problem. The Bible says that we make glad. We choose to live in joy. We choose to live. Come on now. We choose to live in the joy of God. John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life, and life more abundant. Not just life, not just survival, but abundant life. Abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, according to the strength and according to the power that dwells in you. You gotta choose to live in joy. You gotta choose to trust God. You gotta choose to put your faith in the Word. You gotta choose that God is alive and not dead. You gotta choose to determine how you're gonna view things. You're gonna either look at it half empty, or you're gonna look at it as overflowing. Because if God's on your side, it's not survival, it's thriving. Joy is a choice. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this: in your presence is fullness of joy. You see, you can have a choice. You can choose to remain in joy by looking unto Jesus, the author of your faith. You can choose to rejoice, but rejoice. That is a constant renewing, a constant vibrance that you have as you're looking under God and you're declaring his goodness, you're declaring his power in your life. You're declaring that what God said is true is yea and amen. See, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says it this way: rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, Pastor, this is all just nonsense. You're talking about having joy in this whole situation. You're talking about living in joy. You're talking about living in rejoicing. You're talking about living in praise. You're talking about all of this in the middle of my trouble. It doesn't make any sense to me. That is nonsense to me, Pastor. Well, I want you to realize that I got something for you. Some of you are so science-minded. You put so much faith in what science says and not in what the Word says. But you'll find that science always proves the Word. And there's a science to this. It amazed me as I realized that as I'm looking up all this material and studying this, that literally there is a science and a desire for laughter. There is a desire for joy. How do I know that? Well, number one, we have comedians. We tell jokes. We have America's funniest videos. The Bible says that merry heart does good like a medicine. What's the really, it just blows my mind that they've done a study and that children laugh about 300 times a day, but adults only laugh 17 times a day. When we stop trusting, we stop laughing. When we stop trusting, we stop having joy. This is where the rubber meets the road. Where is your faith? Is your faith in what you can accomplish? Because let's be real, that didn't last long. If you've had illness come into your family, you know as well as I do. One minute you're in control, the next minute you're out of control. You've had somebody die in your family, somebody unexpected, whether it be a car accident or whether it be a physical illness. No one ever expected it. You weren't in control. I'm telling you now, you can start laughing again, because even though there's grief in the evening, joy comes in the morning, because when you start rejoicing in God, the Spirit of God is stirred up in your life and your eyes go from down to up, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. There's an actual study. I was shocked. I'm just going to read some stuff. Grief induces stress hormones, which surpasses your immune function. Excuse me, suppresses your immune function, which can lead to sickness. Hardly a week goes by without a new research tying stress to another major ailment. Why mention stress? Because laughter appears to be because laughter appears to cause all the reciprocal or opposite effects of stress. Dr. Lee Burke made the declaration and explains. He says that laughter shuts down the release of stress hormones like cortisol. It also triggers the production of feel-good neurochemical like dopamine, and which is calming and other anti-anxiety benefits. The Moral Ripple study said it this way. We cannot distinguish between laughter, which is induced by humor, and laughter for its own sake, which means artificial laughter. The brain is not able to distinguish between these two types. Therefore, it is assumed that the similar benefits may be achieved with one or the other. Do you realize that whether you fake laugh or you laugh on purpose, whether you belly roll in the aisle, whether you're just sitting home and laughing at something on Facebook as I was this morning, you'll find that it releases the power of God in your life, how God designed your body as you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalms 139, that God has designed you even in the midst of this time of pressure, even in the midst of this time of intensity, even in this time of isolation. God has designed you. He has designed you not to just sit there and survive, but he's designed you to thrive as you call upon his name, as you call in him, as you worship him, the presence of God. As the laughter is stirred in your life, you'll find release in your life. Psychologist Steve Soltanoff said it this way. With deep, heart-filled laughter, it appears that that serum cortisol, which is a hormone that is secreted when we're under stress, is decreased. So when we're having a stress reaction, if you laugh, apparently the cortisol that has been released during the stress reaction is reduced. Do you know what the name of this? They have actually a whole study on this. It's called gelotology. Watch it wiggle. Jello. Gelatology is the actual study of this. You can look it up online. It is amazing to realize that God, he already designed you and I to be successful through the power of joy and laughter. He created us to laugh. He created us to have fun. He created us to enjoy life. He created us, even in the midst of our trouble, to count it all joy. God has empowered us, not that we will survive, but that we will thrive, that God will give us the power, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. This is not something just for people that are just wandering around. This is a promise to you if you know Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says it this way. Psalms 126, 2. We laughed and laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in. The Lord has done great miracles for them. Job 8:21. He will once again fill our mouth with laughter and our lips with shouts of joy. Psalms 2:4. For the one who rules in heaven laughs. That's right. That's where we got it from. We got it from our Father, created in his image. Even God laughs. Romans 15:13. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you with overflowing and uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life and superabundance until you radiate with hope. You see, if you're a believer right now, if you know Christ as your Savior right now, I've got great news for you. Man, you've already got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance against such. The joy of God, the character of God is dwelling inside of you. If you start to rejoice right now, you start to praise right now, just like Paul and Silas did in the lowest part of that prison, they could have complained and moaned and groaned because they were put there only for one reason, because they love the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, no matter why you're seeming to be in this prison, even in your own mind, it's time to start praising God. It's time to start glorifying God. It's time to get your eyes off your problem and fix your eyes on the solution. His name is Christ. And then, if you gotta fake it, ha, 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 ha. If you gotta fake a laugh, then fake a laugh. You can do that old twitchery to your mind, and it's time to release the hormones. It's time to release the blessing of God, even physically, through physiologically, making God as the word of the Lord is being released in your life as you've been created. It's time to recognize who you are in Christ. Now, if you don't know Jesus, that's a whole different topic. If you don't know Jesus, then the only thing you do have is what you can understand. The only thing you do have is how you can handle the situation and the stress that you're looking at as you are there. The only way for someone who doesn't know God, no, I didn't say join a church. I didn't say join a religion. See, Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to restore what Adam and Eve lost in the garden, and that was that relationship with God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God wants to put laughter back in your mouth. God wants to put laughter back in your heart. God wants to put a joy back in your spirit. He wants to put a step back in your walk. He wants to put a happiness and a smile on your face. Well, I don't want to fake it. But even science says if you fake it, you can take it back. Man, I'm telling you, so many people are so discouraged, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be that person. You don't have to be that person that is miserable on Facebook. Come on, we've all been watching them. I've been watching them. Man, they put out something good. 20 people will sit there and bang it down. Here's my opinion. Who really, you know what's amazing is so many people think that their opinion actually matters. You want to know what matters? Love. God is love. You can have everything on this planet, but without love, you have nothing. Love is everything. Love is everything. And if love is everything, then joy, that's number two. Love, joy. love joy. We got to love one another. The Bible says if you're a Christian, this is how they know you, by your love. Well, I don't see a lot of love in the church. Well, you know, they're people too. He was without sin, let him cast the first stone. But this I do know, is that you and I all need the same God. And if we start walking in the ways, and as we're all growing at different places and pinnacles, as we're all in a different, as we're all in a different place in our spirituality of knowing Christ, some are going to mature quicker, some are going to mature slower, some are going to be more successful than others in the aspect of how quickly they're going after it. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But we got to have grace with one another. But Jesus has sent me today for you. He sent me today because some of you are so discouraged. Look, it doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter your sociological, your economical platform. You can have all the money in the world. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Today, God wants to put hope back in your life. He wants to start you on this walk of faith. He wants you to know him, not just know about him. That is accepting him as your Savior. Listen, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There are not many ways or not many religions that lead to the same path. Jesus said there's only one way, and that's through him. Today, I have a challenge for you. If you want to laugh again, you want to have the joy again, even in the middle of your trial, I want you to know you can have it. It's the promise of God. It's the purpose of heaven. It is God's plan for your life and my life, how to live unstoppable, being the supernatural church. Not drawing from natural ability, but drawing from heaven. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you need Jesus, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. You might not ever come to this building, but today you can get your heart right with God. Come on, you feel him drawing you. You might even look to your family on either side, and nothing might be happening with them, but it's happening with you right now. God is drawing you. God is moving on your life. And if that's you right now, I want to pray with y'all. Can I get everybody in every household, in every car, no matter where you are right now? I want to pray right out loud together, whether you're in the hospital right now, whether you're in the nursing home, whether it's in your living room or laying in your bed. Let's pray right now. Well, I don't know. That's nonsense. You got nothing to lose, right? Got nothing to lose. Everything to gain. For if God is real and you reject him, then you postured yourself for separation for all of eternity in the lake of fire. But if God is real and you call on him and God touches you right now and you turn to him, everything changes in your life. Pray with me right now. Jesus, pray right out loud. Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't understand all that the pastor's talking about. Some of it I still see as nonsense. But one thing I know, I cannot deny what I'm feeling inside. Jesus, I call on your name. I declare that I'm a sinner. I declare that I need a God to wash my sins away. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And today, I know that I'm a changed person from the inside out. I declare that depression has no place in my life. I declare that discouragement will not have long in my life. I declare that I will be blessed going in and blessed going out. I'm a child of God now, and with God on my side, I cannot lose. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for being my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we got great things for you. I want you to do me a favor real quickly. I want you to grab your phone and I want you to text me right now. I want you to text I am saved to the number 97000. You see it right now, right on your screen. Right there. I am saved 97000. We're not going to nag you, but we want to get you a Bible. We want to make sure that you know how to grow in Christ. Not just start the race, but finish the race. Because God's got great plans. Your life hasn't ended. Your life has just begun. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Pastor Rhonda wants to share with you real quickly. We got something special for you. I want you to make sure that you participate with her.
Right now, if you prayed that prayer of salvation and you text in, we want to pray with you. We have a person on a Zoom call that will pray with you face to face. You might have to right now go and download the Zoom app. Go ahead and do that. Exit this screen. Do the Zoom app. And if you're on Facebook, we're going to have a link that you can come back to. It'll also be posted on the screen. You can come back to that and join in a Zoom call. Go ahead and take that extra step today so that we can pray for you. Maybe you just want somebody to agree with in prayer. We have a prayer team waiting to pray with you on these Zoom calls so that you can have prayer for your situation in your life today. So go ahead, download that app if you haven't already. If you have, click on the link or dial into the number that's on the screen right in front of you and join one of those calls, because we want to pray with you today. We don't want you just to start this race. We want you to finish this race, and we want you to know that we are here for you. The church
yes.
is here for you today. So make that call. Go ahead and download that app. We are here.
I'm excited as we are prayerfully coming to an end, as we're hearing that things are going to start getting back to normalcy. That you will make sure that decisions you have made during this time of pressure are not abandoned, but that you will continue on this race. Find yourself a local church as they open up. Make sure that you are participating. God's given you special gifts. Use them for His glory. You're going to find, not just here on this earth, but when you get to eternity, great rewards for using what God has blessed you with. We love you. We thank you for participating with us. We thank you for being with us at His Tabernacle Family Church. We'll see you real soon.
My strength.
entering into the time of the service where it's our tithes and offerings. According to the word of God in Malachi and Matthew, giving of our tithes is what the Lord requires. And the tithe simply means 10%. It's not a number that somebody made up. It's just what the word means. And I know to some people, tithing just means nonsense. It makes no sense to some people. But when you have the word of God and the promises of the word of God, that when we give, it shall be given unto us. When we tithe, as he tells us in Malachi 3, that he will give us an open heaven. And you've experienced it. He says, test me in this. Try me in this thing. And when we've tested and tried God, he has proven that all of his promises are yes and amen. So at this time, it's very different giving. It's mostly electronic. People have learned how to give online. So as you give, you can give on our website. You can text to give. The information will be up on your screen. You can also write out a check and send it in the mail, the good old-fashioned way. Or if you come to drive-in church, you can drop it in the basket on your way as you exit the parking lot. There's plenty of ways to give. So today, as you prepare, however it is you're going to give, I want to make our supernatural declaration with you. This is from the Word of God. It's Deuteronomy 28, and we make this declaration. So let's prophesy. Let's speak over our finances the truth of the Word of God. And it says, if I obey, repeat it after